So today is our speaker. We have Ryan Priester, who is an LUT candidate from Unity of Oak Park. He has served on the board and has taught several courses. Ryan is an alum of the University of Chicago College and the Divinity School, where he studied philosophy of religion. He was inspired to become involved in Unity teachings by his mentor, Reverend Richard Billings. Let's give a hand to Ryan Priester.
Good morning. That music was so awesome. I feel like we could just keep going with song. Has everyone recovered from Halloween at this point? I'm still coming down off a sugar high. In my work at the University of Chicago, we bring sometimes children from around the neighborhood into the dormitory, and we did so this Halloween, and it reminded me of that spiritual quality in Unity that we call zeal. When you see kids put on these costumes and take on these personalities and imagine that they have superpowers and are able to transform places. And so I noticed how bright and how much energy was in their faces, and it made me want to talk to you all a little bit about zeal and spiritual audacity today. I asked my mother what I was like and what my favorite Halloween costume was as a kid, and she goes, "Well, you used to be in love with He-Man." Does anybody remember the cartoon He-Man? It's cool. I'm not quite sure at this point what He-Man actually was about, but my mom had a really cool picture of me with a sword in the air screaming, "I have the power!" And I do remember that He-Man would transform into this muscular figure ready to do forces with the battle with evil and take on anything in the world that needed to be fought. And it made me think about other superheroes in the world. Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, all transform from these everyday characters that we recognize. Mild-mannered Clark Kent, the dashing Bruce Wayne, or the lovely Diana Prince, our counterparts. I wonder if we too have spiritual counterparts that allow us to change and to manifest with zeal and with presence in the world the truth of God within us. Do you remember the scene in Superman, the old one from the 80s, where the bullies broke Clark Kent's glasses, and we were all on the edge of our chairs because we knew that he was powerful enough to take care of them, but he somehow was able to maintain composure and be subdued? And I think that that composure comes from the inner strength that we all have of knowing the truth about the God within us. And that truth, that transcendent power, is my subject for today. The truth within each of us, in unity we call the Christ, or the light that is within us. And today I want to walk through three essential steps, I think, to daily manifesting the Christ. I call it the triple A combination for the Christ. And the A's stand for acknowledge, admit, and act. If we are able to acknowledge, admit, and to act about the truth of the God within us, it will bring us to a kind of spiritual audacity. Audacity has not strayed far from its Latin roots. The word audare means to dare in Latin. And spiritual audacity is a kind of bold, spiritually based living that allows us to operate under the radical premise that I am one with the divine. My nature is unified with that of the very spirit that permeates everything in this universe. Living from this point of awareness, which I call spiritual audacity, is a fearless overcoming of human-only tendencies in order to do or to say the right thing. It allows us to be unified, harmonized, strengthened, and uplifted. Being spiritually bold is daring to be the light in the world. In the scriptures in Genesis, God begins creation by saying, "Let there be light." We're taught in unity before we undertake any major circumstance to declare that there is light. In preparation for today, as I was rereading that scripture, I noticed that God actually says, "Let there be light," before there is the existence of the sun. What does it mean in the material world that there is light before there is this material source that we know it called the sun? Light itself is a symbol. It is a metaphor. It helps us to understand things that are unknown. It brings the invisible into the realm of the visible. It makes the hidden revealed. Scripture teaches us that light is in the world. Jesus says, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives the light to the whole house." In the same way, Jesus said, "Let your light shine before others, so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." Many of us in Unity, as we journey through these teachings, have come to accept that we have this inner potential. We have a divine potential. So I looked up the word potential, and it comes from a Latin word meaning potent or powerful. For many of us, this potency, this potential, is somehow aspirational or latent. We're quite comfortable acknowledging the God within, but what might it mean to live up to the requirements, to bring that manifestation into the world? It's sort of like looking at a bag of flour and saying it has the potential to become cake. But what does the flour require to become cake? You see, friends, God is absolute. God does not change. God cannot be less than God is. And since we are created in God's image and likeness, we cannot be less than God is. We already have everything that we need to manifest the truth of our existence within this world. It becomes then a matter of bringing that into the now. At the heart of our being, at our very God level, we have to know and stand upon the truth that we are able. Not that we will be able, or that we hope to be able, or maybe someday if we find the right teacher, but right here and right now, we are able to bring the fullness of our destined purpose into reality. It requires no change other than that of raising your consciousness. Eric Butterworth says, "In your own words, your potentiality is not just a possible achievement. It is a reality. Even before you begin to work for it, it is the whole of you that you are expressing in part. It's a level of you that's not only real, it is more real than the character and consciousness that you are now revealing. The outer person, this facade, this personality may change, probably will do so, certainly needs to do so, but your divine potential, the whole of you, the Christ of you, is a changeless reality." Oftentimes, who we are in the world shows up very early on. I can remember being a small child and playing with books in the floor. My grandmother says I would create a world all unto myself with nothing but books and instruments. And it's, I think, befitting that I grew up to go on to work at a university and to become a musician. We often have hints within our souls that are pulling on us in the directions that we are hoping to go. But how do we find the courage within to establish those truths and move them into the reality of our lives? This brings us to the first of the triple A combination, and that is to acknowledge. If you look at the word acknowledge, it's an interesting combination of act and know. I propose to you today in the Socratic fashion that what you know determines often how you act. If I were to ask you all, where is your car? You can call it to mind. And what direction would you go in to get to your car? You would immediately determine that direction based on the knowledge of where the vehicle is. So too must be the spiritual truth within us. When we have accepted the truth of knowing that not only does God exist within us, but through us and as us, we are wholly one with the thing that we call God, it will affect the way that we behave in the world. You see, as Mr. Fillmore once put it, we are God's idea of itself operating in the world. Yes, we were created in the image and likeness of God, but it does not stop there. In Genesis, it says, "Let us make mankind in our image and according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the wild animals of the earth, over every creeping thing that crawls upon the earth." Once we have accepted that we are created in God's image, and we have brought into our consciousness this sense of oneness, the next step is to then have dominion over our spaces, over this earth. The birds of the air representing ideas, the cattle and the beast representing manifestation. When we can join together as a human family to bring peace into the world, we do so with the depth of knowledge of knowing that we are all one and one with God. This is a matter of being the Christ. Say with me, please, I know who I am. I know who I am. The second step is to admit. And now, this is not to admit in the sense of a confession necessarily, but in the literal or Latin sense, ad to admittere, to give, as in to give admittance. Once you have solidified the knowledge of the truth of your being, you must admit or welcome in the light. Jesus says, "Be still and know that I am God." This is a matter of letting go and letting God be God in you. In unity, we use prayers of affirmation to bring stillness to the soul and direction to our consciousness. Catherine Ponder says, "Speakers or affirm the truth to conditions, to the subconscious mind to accept a premise, to work with divine law and the substance to shape your experience." The work that we do in prayer preconditions our mind, which preconditions our experience. As we bring about the truth within ourselves, it must then necessarily manifest within the world around us. This is a universal current that is obedient to the truth that we know and that we understand. And in order to do this, the sense of oneness also requires that we are connected and open to our family, the human family, and the members within it. This raises the level of the importance of forgiveness in how we operate in the human family. Again, Catherine Ponder writes, "If you want to be prospered, if you want to be healed and have your prayers answered, you must clean up and clean out your life. It is useless to affirm benefits, protection, supply, guidance, and healing if all the time you are doing things you know which are not right in the sight of God and man." Forgiveness is sticky work, but it's necessary to reconnect so that the divine energy flow is able to move through us and as us. As I was going over this work with a friend of mine, she said, "Well, how do you know that you've actually accomplished your forgiveness work?" And I often struggle with this myself. I was reminded when I was in high school, my first trip to Oak Park was with a friend of mine that was Italian, and his mom made dinner for us. And as I was sort of watching her in the flurry of getting this done, she took some pasta out of the boiler, threw it at the wall, and it stuck. And I think that's an apt way to think of forgiveness. When it sticks, you know it's done. When you're able to let go of the feeling of what happened, when it's no longer sticky to your soul, but you've given it away, that's how you know it's done. This brings us to our third and final A, to act. Say with me, please, I know how I serve. Each of us has a divine purpose, something that brought us into this world that we chose to accomplish, that is a path for growth. Again, quoting from Catherine Ponder in her Open Your Mind to Prosperity, she says, "There are many people in the world today who do not know what they want to do with their lives. If they would daily declare the divine plans for themselves, they would not have to know specifically. They would unfold into it naturally. Each of us comes forth on this earth plane with the divine plan for our life wrapped up within our soul nature. The divine plan longs to manifest for us. Calling on it releases it. It matters not what age you are, how long you have lived, what you have done or not done with your life. If you will begin daily to declare the divine plan for your life, it will lead you to your good." When I was younger, having grown up in the Baptist church, I kind of assumed that someday Michael would come down or Gabriel would blow a trumpet and my life's purpose would be revealed. As I've gotten older, I've figured out it's just simpler to make it up. To boldly lay claim to enhance the talents that I have within, to be observant, to go into prayer and to meditate and ask myself the questions, where do I thrive? What do I enjoy? And how can I serve? Because the opposite actually doesn't work out that well. This is the scriptural reference of Jonah. Despite hearing God's voice quite clearly, he says, "I'm not going." And when you do that, you can end up in the belly of a whale in the deep end of the water. Our life, the spirit of life, is calling to us from within. It is moving you constantly and consistently towards your good. And again, how do you know when you're on track? How do you know when you are connected to the purpose that you have? I would argue that one of the keys to this is zeal. Mr. Fillmore wrote, "Zeal is the impulse to go forward, the urge behind all things. Without zeal, stagnation, inertia, death would prevail throughout the universe. The man without zeal is like an engine without steam or an electric motor without a current. Energy is zeal in motion, and energy is the forerunner of every affect." Whatever makes you truly excited in the spiritual sense does so because it calls forth from the essence of your being. Think about what you expect to happen in your life. Think about what you truly hope to bring about in the world, and think about the energy that that brings forth within your consciousness. The psalmist writes, "In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and wait expectantly." That excitement, that expectation coming from deep within our soul is a spiritual power that we have and that we can lay claim to and that we can execute in the world. For truly, it is the excited man or woman that will bring joy into the world. It is excitement within us as a spiritual power that allows us to move from Clark Kent to Superman, from Diana to Wonder Woman. And in the words of Superman himself, there is a superhero in all of us. We just need the courage to put on the cape. God bless you.